Greetings.
Oh, sorry. I'm not tired. I'm happy and energetic. Let's do this. Come on, Salsa. Start this.
Let's fuck this thing in the mouth.
Greetings, Apropossi. And buckle up for the sex. Because for fuck's sake, it's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
with your host?
James.
With your host.
Salsa.
James.
Fuck me. We've only been doing this for fucking 11 years, Jesus Christ.
I was laughing too hard.
You've been doing this for 11 years. I've only got a decade under my belt. So, James, poor James. Like,
yep.
God, like what? Four? Three, 4 years?
Four, I think,
Four.
It was 2017. That's right.
I realized that the drink I had planned was not nearly as strong enough, so I went and got a bottle of scotch.
Yeah, boy.
Did you realize that before or after I started bitching?
It was right about the point that James forgot his lines.
Yeah, that story checks out.
So what are you drinking, Salsa?
I'm drinking Glenmorangie Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Spios.
Oh.
Private edition number 9. Fully matured in American X rye casks.
Ooh.
And I'm drinking straight from the bottle because fuck it all.
Yeah, it is that kind of fucking night. Mm-hmm. I'm going classy with a goblet, but
ooh.
I have. I love this one. I've already had a bottle of this before, and it's one of the wines from my naked wine group. It is. The brand is called Rocket Like a Redhead.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. This particular.
I'm sorry. Rocket, like flying into space, or rock
it? That was
it?
One of the rock questions I had.
It.
Rock it.
That was
one of
two very important questions.
So, Rocket Like a Redhead. This is called The Rebel, which is a Pinot Gris Rosé.
Okay.
It's made in Australia, southeastern Australia, and the owner says, these wines express the connection between my fiery, passionate personality and my commitment to my craft. So, yeah, this is the Rebel Rocket Like a Redhead, and it is delightful. It is a Pinot Gris Rosé. It's fruity, but it's definitely, light. It's not too sweet, but still on the sweeter side.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's one of my new favorites. So.
Awesome.
And it doesn't have anything on the back that's like, it was a crisp autumn morning.
It doesn't read like an internet recipe.
It was my third day in Nepal when...
Yeah. Quiet.
Yeah.
James, what are you drinking?
I picked up something in honor of my fellow podcasters from my previous podcast. Venn Brewing Company, limited release, HTTP 404 Seltzer. Hard seltzer with hibiscus, tangerine, tamarind, and peach. 5% alcohol, batch 404.
Interesting.
Okay.
From Venn Brewing, Minneapolis.
Very cool.
Mm.
This does have some Nepal online recipe notes on the back.
Oh, God.
An Arctic fox darts along a mountainside.
Oh, my
its
God.
Long, bushy tail sweeps snow into the... I'm not kidding.
Oh, Jesus.
Sweeps snow into the night sky, creating a glowing spectacle overhead. At this moment, the northern lights are born. Our origin story is much simpler, but our intention is much the same. We aim to much the same as what?
I can feel. I can, like, as we sit here, I can feel a handlebar mustache and a fedora growing on me. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. just listening to this.
I think the mustache looks better on me, Salsa.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Does it taste like a mustache?
Or an Arctic fox?
Mm. No, I've never tasted Arctic fox.
Oh, tastes like
I'll
chicken.
I'll bet they would object. No, this is delicious.
Not if you do it right.
I mean, I guess. I suppose there's that.
Fair.
But, no, this is delicious. I'm definitely getting the notes that they put on there.
Cool, cool. Oh, yeah. About the Arctic fox? Those notes?
That, yes.
Okay.
The snowy Arctic fox tail making the northern... I couldn't make that shit up.
And there's a lot
there's
of
more
you could make up, James.
Yes.
Like, I'm impressed.
There's more. I didn't read half of this.
We don't
have that kind of time.
No.
When no. does that stop?
And I, as a long-winded person,
like
am telling you, yeah.
Jenna, what you been up to?
Mm.
Oh, God, we're starting with me. Fuck. Mm-hmm.
James, what you been up to?
Good call.
We have a new oven.
Ooh.
Yes.
So, in addition to the shortages of everything everywhere, and difficulties with delays to shipping caused by ships tipping over, this is a real thing. Container ships have been rocked by tsunamis and tropical storms, and so even when...
It's been real great for my job. Real great.
I'll bet.
Oh, God.
So, like, container ships full of surplus and laptops and cars and
all
everything else.
Stuff.
It's all sunk. Or at least even partially. Like, sometimes the waves will just knock shit off the boats.
Yeah.
But they've been losing an enormous amount of cargo this way. Yeah. So that's all part of it. And then, this is also the case for ovens. And then, in addition to that, every motherfucker on Earth, is redoing their kitchen right now. And I can't imagine why.
No, I'm not.
Now would be the time.
no, not either.
Well, Salsa redid his kitchen last year. So right. I feel like
linoleum.
The trendsetter.
But yeah. They saw Salsa's kitchen and they were like, our kitchen
I
like that. hyperbolically, every motherfucker, but literally like a very significant portion of the population is redoing their fucking kitchens.
Yeah.
So our landlordess was very apologetic about not being able to find an oven for a while. And, like, going to buy an oven in, like, a shady fucking Craigslist-style deal. And she was like, okay, I just want
just
somebody to know where I'm going.
Wearing a trench coat, and he opens his trench coat, and there's a bunch of ovens.
<That's not> Right.
You know, you really didn't need to do that. You're standing there with your trench coat over an oven. You could have just shown us the oven. No. There's a certain way we do things here.
Look.
There's a protocol for this.
When you're selling an oven out of your trench coat, you tell me how to do it. But until then, when you live under my trench coat, you live by my rules. Yeah.
Either they're Mary Poppinsing it out of just like...
Vroom. Yeah. Punk. Out. Yeah. Yeah. But, she did find one. She was very apologetic that it doesn't match the kitchen. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I understand that someone might care, that they could care. No, it's black. It's gorgeous. This stove is an oven is gorgeous.
So it's either black or white, which means it matches everything.
Well, all of the other appliances aren't. Well, the thing is, we've got a stainless steel dishwasher and sink,
okay,
and then
I
we've got a white fridge.
Gotcha. Okay, now
and
I understand.
We had a white oven, but that oven was not working.
Well, now
so
need
now
to
we
demand
have,
yeah. a black fridge.
No, I mean, no, because this would be the if I did that, this would be the second fridge that she's bought me. I am bad luck for appliances, apparently.
Okay, you never get to touch any of my stuff.
Your dishwasher's going next. And this one's going to be purple.
I hope not. No, the dishwasher is brand new. She was just putting it in when we got the place.
What about your microwave?
No, the microwave is brand new, too. Jesus. I bought that. That's my... And thank God that I did. Like, my dad came to visit me back when people could do that. And... He was like, all right, I brought the stuff for the soup that I'm going to make for your lunch. And where's your microwave? And I was like, what? And he goes, where is your microwave? It's like, I don't have one. I just thought I'd make stuff on the stovetop. You were alive in the 40s and 50s. You know how to live in a world that doesn't have microwaves. Tell me you have not forgotten in my lifetime. You spent at least as much time in your life without a microwave as you have with one. And you're making soup. Fine. But he was like, no, we are getting in the car.
Yes. I like your dad.
And the only thing that I could say to dissuade him was like, no, okay, all right. I will buy my own microwave. Bryn and I are going to go pick one out. But thank God that I did have a microwave all this time that the oven has been broken. Yeah. So at least there's that.
What you're saying is all of your complaining about knowing how to use a stove and look what you get you not having a stove.
Right. Correct. But I forgot how much I love having a stove. Bryn made jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon.
Mm-hmm.
As you should, and filled with queso, and then the other thing that we made tonight's dinner was broccoli rice and salmon fillets, mm-hmm. and salmon fillet wrapped in foil, tucked into the oven for 17 minutes is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I'm so excited. So now I get to bake bread again. Now I get to live a life that is oven full. Yeah.
You can make pastries.
I don't know how pastries? I lived.
Are you going to make pastries?
No, we're not French. So I don't know how
like
I lived
Eric.
A life that did not
curse the French.
Curse the pastries. I don't know how I lived as a bachelor without cooking. But
you would be surprised how much you can live off of or not live off of.
Sure.
Like I've been in some pretty tough situations and that you mm-hmm. would just be amazed at how little you actually need for survival.
Rice and salsa.
I was the reason that a Taco Bell had to put a sign on that coin drop game that said one prize per person per day, please. Because
I don't know how this connects, but I love it.
I would go there with my last 70 cents, and instead of getting one taco, I would get seven.
Oh, okay.
Because I would make change for it in the drawer at the place I was working, and I would get seven dimes, and I would catch all or nearly all of them on the little winner section.
Yeah.
And the reward for catching a dime in one of those is a supreme taco.
Mm-hmm. Supreme taco, yeah.
And so by the time they had made one, I had caught the next one, and they would just give me what amounted to several dollars worth of tacos. So no, I understand. Cooking is not mandatory. But I love doing it. I love the food that I make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for me, I'm surprised that I got along without ever having done it. Not that it's, like, not that you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never knew that I would miss a stove.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So there's that.
Well, congratulations on your stuff.
Thank you. And the range top is so smart. It's got four little burners, and then two of the little burners are surrounded by a larger ring that you can turn on separately.
Oh, cool.
So you can have four small burners, or two small and two large.
Very cool.
Yeah. Is it electric?
Oogie, oogie, oogie. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it have a griddle top at all, or?
It's got just a flat glass top.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
it's gorgeous. I cleaned it with a sponge in 5 seconds.
I have a story about a glass top.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's unlike us to divert for story.
Did you have a date like that once?
No, it was just a quick announcement. I was making tiramisu.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I could make that, so this was at least 15 years ago, and
you can still make it.
I could. I'm not going to, but I could. I had done all of the stovetop stuff, and I don't remember specifically. I think I was reducing the coffee rum mixture.
Oh. Yeah.
Right. And I had done all of that on the stovetop. And then I, you know, built my tiramisu and I put it all together and I put it in the oven. And then I put the bread stuff in the oven, in the Pyrex container. And then I took it out of the oven and I put it on my, stovetop.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that one of the burners was still on.
Bum, bum.
Oh no.
Because I'm used to gas stoves where there's, you know, a fire.
Yeah, me too.
And there wasn't I didn't see any I wasn't trained yet to find indicator lights, or maybe it just wasn't on, or maybe I don't remember the situation, but I did not know that my stove top was still on. So I put the Pyrex glass down and left it to cool.
Oh no.
And probably about 5-10 minutes later, there's an earth-shattering shatter boom.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Right. There was Pyrex all the fuck over.
Fuck.
I did not have tiramisu that day.
Oh.
No.
However, the glass stovetop, completely intact.
Huh.
So good job, it.
Very well.
Yeah.
The glass Pyrex, not so much, but the glass stovetop. Good job, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jenna, what about you?
What about me? I have been researching soap making.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds exciting. Making supplies. Huh?
That sounds exciting.
Yeah. It's chemistry. Chemistry is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting on a couple more supplies to show up before I actually start it. But I've been studying everything from historical soap making, from wood ash, all the way down to chemical compounds and the saponification that happens, and all this other stuff, and how soap actually works, which is cool.
Mm.
It's way cooler than it should be.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited. I need my mixer. I think once I have my mixer, I'll be good to start making soaps proper. I have a pouring mold. Well, and there are different types. Excuse me, of soap making. A lot of the soap making kits that you get are basically pre-mixed, and you just put it together.
Sure, yeah.
And then
IKEA soap.
You can add stuff and whatever, and then you put it in molds, and you can make it smell and look pretty.
Just add water. Yeah,
that's mostly what the kits are. Well, I missed it.
He said, just add water.
Yep. Good job.
Thank you.
Well played, buddy. Okay. Actually, a lot of it is, you've got pre-done bricks that you cut up and you melt and then you put other stuff into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you re-solidify it. So yeah, I've got that and I can start doing that right away. But I want to try my hand at hot and cold press, or hot and cold, process stoves. Mm-hmm. I've been drinking. And yeah, there's some differences between those two processes.
Going to be dumpster diving behind the liposuction clinic?
Oh, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, no, probably not. Okay. sodium
hydroxide.
Yeah.
Hydroxate. Some of those.
I think so. I don't know. I'm so bad at learning words. I really am. I only know that there's three kinds of soaps, saponification soap things. Mm-hmm. There's sodium, there's potassium, and there's lithium. Lithium doesn't actually wash. It's just used to, it's technically a soap because of the chemical process, but it's just used to grease things and make them go.
Gotcha.
Because of how that interacts with oil, how the lithium hydroxide interacts with oils,
because it forms your fat then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, like, sodium is basically like your harder soaps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like a harder soap. And then potassium is your softer soaps. And potassium is basically what you get out of wood ash.
Right, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's basically my book report on what I've been learning the past.
So one of the shows that my wife and I watch, it's a British history show where three people basically spend a year living on a farm in a time period.
Yeah.
It's Tudor farm, Victorian farm, you know, things like that.
Sure.
And in one episode, she showed us how to make wood ash soap, which was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's so neat.
Yeah. I'd never seen how that worked before. And then she was like, you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. And it's like,
Yeah. Like, and it's not like, you know, the super fancy soaps that you get.
Certainly,
it's kind of it's a bit of a smushier soap from the onset.
Yeah.
And if you leave it be for a while, like, you've got to leave it for like a good 4 to 6 weeks to really toughen up.
Well, wow.
But yeah, I was looking at that because you just take your wood ash and you mix it up with some water, and you let that sit for a bit, and it'll separate out.
It'll leach out the
Yep. It'll leach out the lye, but then the ash part will go to the bottom, and your light lye water, I guess, is the best way to describe it, is on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that water and boil it down to whatever concentrate you need of lye water, which, I mean, nowadays we can do various tests with like pH strips and else, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I saw a really cool thing where this guy was like, so back in the day, they didn't have, you know, these things to test stuff. So what you do is you take a potato and you put it in the pot. And if the potato sinks, it's not ready. And if it floats to the top, it's ready. And I'm like, what? And he started to break down the chemical process of like what happens within that to where the potato floats on top. I didn't even care. It was just magic.
Science has become indistinguishable from magic.
And then once you've got the right concentrate, you just mix it in with your fats, your lard, your tallow, your that stuff, and then you let it sit for a while. But you have to mix it for like forever. ever.
What fats are you going to be using? Do you know, or?
I'm going to start with olive oil and shea butter.
Okay.
Olive oil is the most common. It's the easiest to work with.
Yeah, I believe it.
I also, sorry, James, but I want to try using avocado oil.
That one's a super common one, too.
It's super common, but it's also supposed to be a bit more moisturizing.
Yeah.
And
so just regular like cooking oils, like canola oil, you could use.
Yeah, you can any of it. You can use vegetable oil. It's all going to affect a little bit of like consistency and your portions.
Oh, sure. Everyone will have a slightly different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive around to the McDonald's, collect their used fry oil. Mm-hmm.
You totally can. I wouldn't, but you totally can.
That soap would either smell amazing or disgusting.
It would smell amazing. You filter it.
It would smell amazing for the first 5 minutes, and then it would get cold.
Ugh.
And then it would just.
My oldest brother. All right. My oldest brother started a biodiesel.
Oh, sure.
And that's literally where they got their stuff was restaurants used oil.
Yeah. As long as you filter it.
James, did you ever meet the Love the Bus guys when they came through?
No.
This was...
Based on the fact that I have no idea what that is.
I was about to say, which place of employment was
it? They came out to the Renaissance Festival and spent a couple days there. But it's Love, comma, the Bus. And what it is, it's three guys who took a school bus, an old school bus,
and made it into an RV.
Converted it into a biodiesel bus. And so they would go around and they would just get cooking oil from places and use that to fuel their bus as they drove around the country.
Well, that's fascinating.
But yeah, they stopped at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival for a weekend and were kind of the guests there for the day, just running around filming and stuff like that.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Anyway, definitely. It's a good way to recycle used cooking oil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, your vehicle's always going to smell like French fries, but worse things have happened to better people.
Smells like French fries during Tech Week anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's fair. That's true.
For soap use, it really depends on how you filter it and how you boil it and scrape off how you smelt it. I don't know what the word is for oil.
Render it?
Sure.
Render. It's rendering.
Okay.
You render oil.
Yep.
Yeah, it but requires however, a lot of computers.
But how you render it to get rid of the impurities. Anyway, speaking of which, how smelly will this process be? Is this something you'll be able to do in your apartment, or is this something you're going to want the windows open and your neighbors are going to hate you?
My neighbors might hate me. I don't know. The smelliest part is... mixing the lye powder, the sodium bicarbonate, with water, because there is a reaction with that. And it heats up, it causes smoke, it's an issue. That's gonna be the smelliest part. I'm gonna have all of my windows open. I've got my goggles. I had to buy a second pair of goggles because the first pair of goggles didn't quite go over my glasses.
Oh no!
It was just like just this much too small to go over my glasses, and I was like, ah, son of a bitch!
That's some bullshit.
You need some bigger goggles or smaller glasses.
The goggles, they do nothing.
I do have my goggles. I got some non-latex rubber gloves that are... I never have any that fit me quite the way I want them to.
Sure.
Well, I'm sorry.
Got tiny little hands.
Okay.
Tiny little hands.
I love that this is a consistent problem for you. I have questions I don't want answered.
I'm trying to picture.
My gloves never quite fit like a glove.
I'm trying to trying to determine what reputation you will have in your building as the crazy lady with a room that's, you know, with an apartment that they can smell lye down the hall, and whenever they open the door, she's standing there in an apron and gloves and goggles, and they're like, she cleans a lot.
No. Yeah. Someone's like, are you disposing of bodies in there? And your answer has to be, if I am, are you really going to ask me about that?
Look, I'm not saying that I do have a body to get rid of, but are you somebody who does that sort of thing?
Look, if I told you that I had a body to get rid of, then I would have another body to get rid of.
Oh, no. I'm not serious. So I'm not serious. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Unless you're serious.
Close. No, so it's, I'm going to, when I do start my process, I'm going to just do a tiny batch to see how much it affects the air quality in my house.
Yeah.
And figure out what I do or don't need to do about that.
Air filters and air movement and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have an air purifier. I've got fans. Mm. There is a hood fan in my kitchen ceiling. That I know is clean because when I moved here, it was making noises, and so I called maintenance, and they showed up. Maintenance Mike showed up. Maintenance Mike Jr. showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to look at it, and he was like, well, this is disgusting. I don't think this has been cleaned out since it was installed in, like, 1970. So he cleaned it for me. So I know I have a clean kitchen fan.
Vestigial grease.
Good. Oh, it was disgusting. We're going to see if this is a thing that I can do in a tiny apartment. I'm really hoping it is, because I have lots of things that I want to try.
I have plans to attempt to make a batch of garum at some point this summer, probably.
Garum? And, no idea what that
and
is.
My wife has very explicitly told me that that is not something that I am doing in the house. So we'll see my neighbors. Oh, garum.
It's not that shark stuff.
No, garum is the Roman fish sauce.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Where you ferment fish for 14 days. Yeah. So that is something that I cannot make in the house. But
your neighbors are going to assume that there's a dead body in your garage. Like, that's going to happen.
His neighbors are correct.
Oh, God.
Look, that has nothing to do with the garum at all.
Okay.
But maybe.
Look, sometimes when you learn to swallow swords, there's an accident. That's what the clones are for.
So I was home all weekend. I was home all weekend. But my wife was not. So for a while now, people know this about me. I'm a bit of an introvert. And I know, right? And so the whole pandemic lockdown thing has also been difficult for me, but in a different way than most people. It's been difficult for me in that my family never leaves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter what is going on, 24/7, 365, basically, my children are here, my wife is here. I really never get time to be away from people. So this is something that my wife and I have been discussing for a little while, of just taking a couple days, like a weekend or something, and going to, like, a cabin in, you know, the north, and just, like, taking a couple days to truly be alone. You know,
right.
Take some books, go sit by a fire, read some books, truly be alone for a couple days.
That sounds amazing.
I thought so, too. So we were discussing it, and this was going to be the weekend I did that.
Yeah.
But my wife and I were online looking at places, you know, to try to find something, and she found a place in St. Paul. Just like a bed and breakfast in St. Paul. But it had, you know, a fireplace, and it had a jacuzzi tub, and, you know, stuff like that. And she was looking at the pictures, and she was kind of like, you know what? I kind of want to go instead. And I was like, do it, you know, by all means do it. So kind of a spur of the moment, last minute thing. She was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So, my wife packed up an overnight bag and she went and stayed at this bed and breakfast or Airbnb or whatever it is, in St. Paul, just kind of like on Lake Como.
Okay.
And she basically had the fireplace and she had the jacuzzi and she had her books and she did some reading and she did some knitting and she just relaxed.
Like, oh my god.
Like she got in the jacuzzi and after a while she got out and she read in front of the fire and then she got back in the jacuzzi and then she got out and we played, we do a Jackbox game thing on Friday or Saturday nights with friends. So we did that, and then she went to bed and she woke up the next morning and got back in the jacuzzi and
Times are tough.
Yeah, no, it was she pampered herself and I it was something I think that she needed because while she is more social than I am, getting away from the kids for, 24 hours I think did her a world of good as well.
So, yeah, I believe that.
You can love somebody very, very dearly and need to be away from them in order to continue.
Yeah.
That's...
That's what I did. Is I stayed home with the kids and my wife went off and pampered herself.
Yeah.
I'd assumed we were going to hear more stories of hockey.
I did hockey, but, well, hockey, the magicians are away this weekend and next weekend. So,
oh, okay.
Although, I don't know if I told you about this last week, but, for some reason, even though the Magicians were the away team, they were playing at our arena. I don't know if something else was happening in their arena. Oh, no, it's because we were playing Alaska. So Alaska flew down here, and instead of having Alaska fly back up to Alaska for a weekend and then fly back down here for the next couple of games, they just stayed here and used our arena as their home arena. So the Magicians were the away team, but they were in our arena. But I guess they were trying to get the people that worked at the arena to work for those games without actually paying them at all.
Oh.
Yeah, my boss was not happy that that's what they were trying to pull. But I did. I checked the scores, and whoever was doing my job for the games this weekend sucked at it. I was like, huh.
So, job security.
It amused me a little bit.
I've been in that position.
It amused me a little bit.
Sitting
but also
back so there bad. With your glass of booze in the hall, just like,
just watching the train wreck happen.
You missed that one there. Oh, now you've overcompensated.
So, yeah. didn't do much with that. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we better add.
All right. We're going to take a break. You know how this works.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Should we do a podcast?
We should do a podcast.
That shit happens all the time.
Actually, we only podcast about once a week.
Oh. I mean, that's kind of all the time.
That's once a week.
On the reg.
It's consistent, but that doesn't mean it's all the time.
That's true. Yeah, it's consistent. But
if something happens consistently,
it means it on a regular period.
Not continually.
Yes, that.
don't
consistently is not the same as constantly.
Fucking knighted.
don't fuck with the project manager on time definition, all right?
That's fair. Okay. All right, like all joking aside. All right?
If anybody knows the difference between semi-weekly and bi-weekly, it's her.
Especially, right.
Semi is when the week is only a little hard.
She's not semi-sexual. But, yeah, what? So she would know the difference between...
So, like, every other...
Wait, semi-weekly and bi-weekly. Bi-weekly is both weeks. Semi-weekly
is... No, that's not...
So bisexual is both sexes, and semi-sexual is half of the time?
That might actually
be correct.
You
only like half of one gender?
Although, it depends on how you define bisexual, because for some people, it is two sexes, or quote-unquote both sexes, even though we know gender spectrum.
Yeah.
And for some people, bisexual is same sex and not same sex, which can incorporate a wider variety of gender. So
like all genitals.
I mean, genitals are cool. I generally like people, but yet whatever.
Maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what you are.
Don't.
Yeah, that seems like
we can have our listeners do it. Folly. Dear listeners, write in.
Oh, fuck off.
Dear Cisquet, write you. Did you just suggest to our listeners that they should tell me how to identify?
Oh, fuck.
Because I feel like, especially with our listeners, you're going to get into a fuck ton of trouble right off.
Oh, it's my thing.
I don't even need to do anything.
Honestly, our listeners would know better. That's...
And watch. Like, this is...
All right, we should start. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
You didn't have to any of that, you son of a bitch. No, Andrew.
No, of course I didn't. I didn't do the intro yet.
And I'm Jenna. Oh, like you have always waited until the
fucker. No, but Jenna, you hate it when I do that, so I don't do that ever so often.
Oh, I see. You're only going to start making it convenient for you, asshole.
I'm going to be an inside out boy from laughing too hard.
Listeners, if you want to know what that was, I'll probably forget, but you can still email me. And you're like, what was that? I don't even remember. This
also,
is how Paul says so much.
I mean, also, I was totally recording, and that's going in, so.
All right.
And listeners, I look forward to you.
I'm a capricious god.
Dear listeners, thanks. Yeah.
But to touch back on that, James, because gender does not equate genital.
Right, yeah.
I don't care about the genitals, but like, gender does affect how my feelings are affected, right? And that's why I claim more bisexual than like pan or something, is that I do have I have a difference in types of feelings, even though they're all romantic and sexual to varying degrees and in varying ways. But it's like, it's more how it's displayed and kind of like, I get more protective-y in some situations and more like, what, I don't know. Whatever.
Fair enough.
It is different for me depending on various gender things, but the genitals don't actually have anything to do about it.
Yeah.
So.
Same. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. Okay. I went with queer because...
For the same reasons why I was diagnosed with IBS for so many years.
Because
like
you have
kind
it?
Kind of a catch-all, like, I don't know, man, like, something there.
Well,
not
I was
that
looking
I want
at,
to with IBS.
Yeah.
Look,
I was looking at Chun-Li Hentai as a young man and then discovered something about myself.
Right.
Sometimes you just look at someone and go, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So we're changing topics drastically now, but
we're just
are we?
Really hard
yeah, how
you guys.
Are we gonna like? Like, this didn't even go off the rails. It started off the rails, and now I gotta find the rails.
No, we didn't even have... Yeah, we didn't even have...
We got a taxi to the rails.
To the runway, you know, we were, to take a plane to find the rails.
We were talking about doing a What You've Been Watching, What You've Been...
So, who was your first
one? I don't know. This is kind of more fun for me, but, you know, if we wanted to actually get into something that Salsa could... talk about not put his foot in his mouth. That'd be cool.
Oh, I mean, I think our listeners like it when I put my foot in my mouth.
That's fair.
Does that make them voyeurs?
I mean, audiers?
Audiers. That's yeah, that's audiers. Oh, God. They're really into aural.
Yeah. James time traveling.
Time traveling?
Yep.
Oh, man, he picked a hell of a time.
I know.
Hey, right? So what you been reading, what you been watching?
So I've been reading a book slowly, working my way through a book. It's by a author named, I'll tell you in a second, but the first book is called, depending on if you're in America or in Europe, it's either called The Painted Man or The Warded Man. And it's basically, it's a book about a fantasy world wherein demons exist. And they they manifest at night. They come out of hell at night and they basically run rampant and kill people. It's by Peter V. Brett. It's called The Painted Man or The Warded Man, again, depending on if you're in America or the UK, because apparently Americans don't know what the word warding means. But anyway, so it's this...
I mean, I don't, so you're correct with that.
So, well, right. So it's a fantasy world wherein, like I said, demons exist, they come out of hell at night, and the only protection humans really have is runes. That they can create a rune circle around their homes or around themselves to basically prevent the demons from getting in. But the demons can, you know, if a rune is scratched or faded or anything like that over time, you know, they can exploit that magical little break through the wards and kill everybody inside.
Sure.
So humanity is basically fucked. Humanity is way on the decline because people have just been they have no way to fight back against the demons. They've just been slowly slaughtered over the past however long. So humanity's on its last legs. But this series is about a guy who through various travels kind of discovers the lost art of these runes and learns how to learns more runes that are not only defensive but also offensive runes, so he starts to fight back, and then long story short, they call him the Warded Man or the Painted Man because he tattoos wards all over his body. Like his entire body, his eyelids, his fingernails, his tongue, his lips, like everything about him, he's got tattooed with these wards all over his body that are both defensive and offensive. And like the wards on his eyelids give him sight that he can see a really, you know, far distance, and the wards on the wards on his knuckles are offensive ones, so when he punches a demon it like explodes and stuff like that. And so he basically has made his body a living weapon, and he goes and fights the demons and stuff like that. And he, through his travels and kind of finding the old, you know, lost cities and stuff like that, starts to bring this offensive magic back to the people. But of course things don't go great. There's a race of nomadic desert people that he visits and travels and meets who also have a so like in the religion that's practiced where he's from, like they start calling him the Deliverer, which is a prophesized man who is going to deliver the people from the demons, you know. But he goes
Brian.
He goes to this desert nomad people, and they have their own deliverer. And so, like, they become friends.
They have a deliverer?
Well, they become friends at first, but then the other guy tries to kill him, and things don't go well. And now you have, like, two rival deliverers. You've got, like, the Pope and the anti-Pope thing going on.
Sure.
And so, like, not only are they
Byzantine?
What's that? it's basically not only are they trying to fight off the demons and stronger, smarter demons are coming to the fore as the moon wanes and stuff like that, but now we've also got this army of the desert nomads who have a prophecy of their deliverer coming and conquering the entire world and, you know, not only delivering from the demons, but also delivering the entire world unto them. So they've got this invading army happening, and it's everything is bad. Mm. It's just bad. It starts bad, and it gets worse. But it's
well, that's a ringing endorsement.
It is very compelling because because the situation is just fucked. You know, like and people are trying to find snippets of happiness and living their life in a world that is fucked. You know, where these demons are an ever present danger. Like every single night they come out and try to kill you. And if your warding is just a hair stroke off, you know, if there was a fly in your paint pot when you were painting your wards and it's got smeared or something, then you're fucked. You know? So it's dire and bad things happen, but it's very compelling, very very good stories.
Well, that sounds careful.
You know, and it's not just him. It's also a bunch of the other people that live in the area. There's, you know, a traveling jester jungler, you know, guy who's a fiddle player who has discovered that. Through his improvisational fiddling, he has the power to control these demons and stuff like that. So, all sorts of really crazy, fun magic stuff happening. Recommended The Warded Man by Peter Brett. Check it out. I think it's 5 books now. I'm on the 3rd book.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the 3rd book right now.
Nice.
So.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. James, have you been reading anything?
Aside from the stuff that I was reading before, I've been reading a lot of short fiction from a podcast that I used to listen to, but ended up, because I went looking for a story for somebody and then ended up reading through a lot of the archives. The podcast is called Pseudopod. It is in the same family of podcasts as Escape Pod. Escape Pod is a speculative fiction, mostly sci-fi type of thing,
okay.
Where Pseudopod is primarily speculative fiction horror. And I had been looking for one particular story, and went looking through their archives for an event that they have annually called Artemis Rising. And Artemis Rising is entirely, women or femme presenting thems. They thems who have written speculative horror speculative fiction or horror for both of those podcasts, and so you get this amazing mixture of people who, for a very long time, have not been allowed equal access to, especially the sci-fi and horror communities.
I was about to say, where's the speculative part of this? Okay, cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the particular story. I'll send Salsa a link to the particular story that I was looking for, because it is amazing in written form and also the podcast episode that it's on, the podcast episodes are a little more than them choosing a voice who then reads the author's work. And so it's not exactly an audiobook. It's more like storytelling. But it's out fucking standing.
All right.
It's absolutely amazing. So especially every year in the middle of the year, the Artemis Rising event that takes place for these two podcasts is super worth it. Is absolutely stunning. And it's, I think that this set of podcasts is what led me to change my feelings about audiobooks.
Okay.
Because initially I had a bias against audiobooks for a long time, but I think a lot of people do. A lot of people treat them as if they are not reading because they're being read to you. And
I
you
have,
may not.
Yeah. I have yeses and noes in that. Like there is a weird small part of me that's like, oh, but reading is visual. And then I'm like, well, that's super ableist, Jenna. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Also,
like, basically is what it comes down to. Audiobooks are not generally my thing. Because mm-hmm. I don't have, that's not how I absorb information.
Sure.
Well, so like, for me, I just don't audiobook much.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Night Vale, I had a hard time just paying attention, keeping up, remembering things, whatever. It's not, it's not my medium. Yeah. I'm not against people, listening to audiobooks. Like, I'm like, no, how dare you? And I don't even think it's lesser. It's a different way of consuming stuff. So whatever.
For me, it's a very tactile experience. It's not just the contents of the book, but mm-hmm. it's also the feel of the page and the smell of the book. Like, I love the smell of a book. Like, even reading a book on a Kindle, you know, I'm just like, I don't have that smell. I don't have that that feel of the paper in my fingers, which for me is a lot of it. But yes, by all means, read an ebook, listen to an audiobook, mm-hmm. do that. Yes, do that. Like Jenna said, it's not for me. I've tried listening to audiobooks and I just can't focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time I can do it is in a car trip.
Even then, like, even part of reading for me is being able to stop and go back and look at various things and mm-hmm. backtrack and go a couple pages back and try to remember. And you just can't do that with an audiobook. It just, things kind of happen. And
it's trickier, for sure. Mm. But yeah, like, I will say, I have been able to follow an audiobook when Joe and I are driving to and from Kansas City and it's a 7-hour journey.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that's all I've got to do. Like, mm-hmm. there is nothing else to distract or focus on or whatever.
Definitely.
But that's the only way I can really consume audiobooks.
Yeah.
And, again, to each their own, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, like, how dare you listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, no, consume your art in whatever way you wish.
Yeah. Well, and I just, like, realizing that about myself and especially overcoming it and enjoying it, which is not for everybody, for the reasons that you've mentioned, but finding something that I really like about it is good. But then also having the option to choose between, to get the same story, but to choose between the mediums is really fantastic. Yeah. So all of these podcast episodes are also transcribed so that you can just read them.
I'm thinking about this. The books that I tend to listen to in audiobook while traveling in cars is Stephen Bruce books.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his books actually translate really, really well into audiobooks.
I can see that. Mm. Yeah.
It's just such a chill flow type thing.
There's enough action happening, where you can.
There are easy reads, and there's not a lot that's overly Like, there's not a lot of... You don't have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? So...
There's no deep cerebral meaning of life shit going on.
No, I mean, there's a lot of philosophical shit.
I mean, there is, but it's very... It's very bubbly.
It's spelled out, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's not philosophy in the, like, Kant or, you know, something like that. It's just kind of fluffy philosophy.
I like a lot of books, but when it comes to philosophy, I can't.
Sigh. For God's sake, someone throw a pie.
Do you need Emmanuel to learn how?
Oh, that's an acceptable follow-up.
Thank you. Okay. No, I'm reminded of something that I ended up posting about on Facebook. It's not something that I usually do. I don't usually post about things that aren't, you know, fun, happy things for me, or that aren't shows that I'm going to do. But I did end up posting this to a group, and that was that a dear friend of mine had gotten a subscription to a service called Graphic Audio. And Graphic Audio are a group that do books or stories that are not just audiobooks being read by one author, but are more like radio plays of whatever the medium is. And I want to let people know right away, I am not recommending them. I am strongly not recommending them. And it is because she downloaded a book that included some very difficult audio, some very troubling content, and just sent them a quiet message that was like, hey, this content will probably hurt people, and I'm not telling you not to have it, because some people are okay with it, but
right.
you may want to warn people. You may want to have a warning on individual stories.
Right.
That this is about to happen. And the person who responded to the suggestion said, well, I'll pass it on, but they've been doing it the same way for the last 16 years, so I don't think anything's going to change. And scenes of graphic sexual violence portrayed in an audio format, among other questionable choices. And that's an extraordinarily difficult thing, because I know that there are companies that want to have edgy stories, or that want to have stories that are, you know, true to life, or have difficult, sometimes harrowing things in them. But I think this is an example where Escape Pod and Pseudopod do a really good job of it, because the host for the show comes in and says, hey, just to let you know, if you have a problem with, you know, pets being murdered, you may want to skip this one.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. There are 1,000 ways to do it right, and they appear to be choosing none of them. So there's that. I was just reminded. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what you haven't been listening to.
That is what I have not been listening to. Yeah. other things that we haven't been listening to, Daft Punk today. I have been listening to Daft Punk today, but I have not. I don't know how to frame this, but Daft Punk broke up today. There is no more Daft Punk.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good way of framing it.
As of the 22nd of February, 2021, Daft Punk no longer exists.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, their back catalog exists. They will have always have performed those things, but...
they didn't proof out of existence. They're just
right.
no longer doing Daft Punk.
Yeah, they're retired.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe, maybe not. They may not be retiring. It's possible that one or both of them may continue to do things.
Oh, okay. But the act is retiring.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The group is no more.
Salsa and I don't do vilification tennis anymore. But that doesn't mean either of us has stopped comedy.
Nope. I am not doing anything funny.
Yeah, that
ever
doesn't make
again.
Either of you good people. That's
right. Yeah. I mean, in order for Salsa to stop comedy, he would have had to start in the first place.
Exactly.
Write that yeah. down. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's that's not humor. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. Truth in comedy. Mm-hmm. It's a book.
Indeed. I've also been playing... I purchased a whole lot of games on Steam during the last sale. Because my recent, you know, in the past few years, destitution has waned, and so I am able to look at the games that I previously could not afford and go, I can afford that. so instead of buying games that are only $5 or less on Steam, I've now gone to $10 or less on Steam.
Oh,
So I picked up Assassin's Creed Origins. I've been playing a bunch of that, and it is huge.
Yeah,
it is fucking huge. Like all of the other Assassin's Creed games look like took place in a city, or you know, a city here and a city there. This takes place in Egypt.
Shit.
Like, you go from Alexandria to Memphis to Giza to, you know, all these other places, and it's just all on this huge map. So, yeah, it's just ginormous. Another thing they did is they fixed the enemy queuing.
Oh?
So, okay. Beforehand, in all of the Assassin's Creed games, all of the enemies would attack one at a time. So they had this AI queuing system where one would attack, then the next would attack, then the next would attack. And if you basically knew that, then you could parry, you know, counterattack, parry, counterattack, parry, counterattack, and get through an entire fight with 20 people completely unscathed.
Jeez.
Yeah. This game has done away with that. There is no longer.
You went, oh, hey.
Yeah, exactly, and all of the subsequent ones, I believe, have also gotten away from that. But the kind of cheesy queuing AI has been replaced, and so you could be in the middle of like one of your like attack animations, and somebody else will just fucking take you out. Because they're not waiting for anything. So you've really got to be a lot more aware when you're in combat of everyone else. You can't just stand there and wait for them to attack you and counterattack. Because they'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
So combat is a lot more fun and exciting and like, holy shit. But it's a huge world. And I've always loved the Assassin's Creed games. I know a lot of people give them shit for various reasons, but I've always loved them. So I've been playing Origins, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Good.
Except for the night. When it was late at night, it was like 12:30, and I was like, I'm just gonna do one more mission here, one more quest, and then I'm gonna go to bed.
So you were lying.
No, I wasn't, because I was just going to do one more quest, and the twist ending of this quest, and I'm going to give a little bit of a content warning here.
Uh-oh.
The twist ending is this little girl who was kind of helping you at the beginning is captured by the bad guy and thrown in the river with a rock tied to her foot.
Oh my god.
Jeez.
trees.
And, like, the very end of the mission is you diving down and retrieving her.
Aww.
And it was like, oh, good night.
Oh, buddy.
Like, it was so amazingly done, like, story-wise. Oh. It was so unexpected, and it raised the stakes of the brutality of the bad guy, and, like, the you know, kind of, like, everything will be okay at the end of the mission, you know, thing that you kind of expect in that type of game. Right. It's just, like, completely thrown out the window, and shit just hit the fan, and it's storytelling-wise, so well done, so impactful. The timing on it, the beats they hit, everything is amazing. But the little girl about the age of my daughter, and now it's like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. Fuck. that was not a good night. That was not a good night for me.
Oh, honey.
I don't, you know, hold them responsible or anything like that. It was just a timing thing, but yeah, that was a rough night.
Yeah.
Who else? I've been watching WandaVision.
That has been amazing.
We can't talk about it. Like, here,
nope.
I have a bitch, and it's not about WandaVision. It's about everybody else on the fucking face of the planet watching WandaVision first thing in the goddamn morning on a Friday and then talking about it. Like,
those people are jerks.
I know I can get a little overboard on spoilers. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know your reaction to it. I don't want to know. I just want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Without any preconceived notions. But holy fuck. Fuck, some of the things that people are saying at like 10 in the goddamn morning, I'm like, I know people very specifically that now get up in the morning before work to watch WandaVision to make sure that they don't get spoilers while they're going about their day. It's like, oh my god, I am cranky about that. I've just stopped going on Facebook on Fridays. Like, seriously, I think two episodes that somebody said something that just kind of ruined the experience for me. And I'm like, fucking son of a... Like, yeah, I'm angry about that. I am...
Yeah.
Justified.
So, anyway. But I've been watching WandaVision. I recommend watching WandaVision. Anyway... I'm watching Salsa just staring at the camera like,
I think it's so ridiculous that we have gone so spoiler crazy that people need to wake up before work on a Friday in order to watch it before spoilers. Like, it's just so blown out of proportion as far as I'm concerned. Like, I get it. I'm not trying to say, you know, I've spoken my piece about that, but it's just like, we have gotten so far up our own ass about spoilers that we're doing this now. holy shit. I get not wanting to know what happens, but but waking up before work on a Friday just to not, like, holy shit, people.
I mean,
take it down about three notches here.
Well, but, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, if it was maybe a week later, I would be better about it. I'd be like, well, that's fucking annoying, but these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's been on the air for 3 hours and people are talking, and it's a half an hour show.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that much you can say about it that isn't going to tell you what's going on.
Right.
And I bet that people are excited and they want to share their excitement. But, like...
Find a place.
Salsa, I know you don't care about spoilers. I know it's not your thing. You don't care about it. It's not a big deal to you. But God damn it, don't take that from me.
No,
and I don't mean like as an individual. I mean the grand world.
My gripe is not only about the people that are waking up at, you know, whatever hour in the morning so they don't get spoilers. It's also with the people that are waking up on Friday morning before work to watch it so that they can spoil it. Like, seriously, it'll still be there when you get done with work. Just, everybody slow your roll, watch it on Friday after work. It'll still be there, I promise.
Well, I mean, we do have some people that aren't watching it before work because they simply don't have work right now. So, like, I mean, yeah. If you're unemployed and that's the highlight of your fucking week, have at it.
Obviously, everybody has their own situation. It's just, yeah.
Just, like, for me, it's like, dude, I get that you're excited. Find other people that have already seen it. And go be excited with them over it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and post, hey, I watched WandaVision. Anyone want to have a group message conversation about this? It's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally that fucking easy.
Oh, absolutely. It really is easier to not post something than it is to post something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get that.
It is literally the least amount you can do.
Everybody be as lazy as I am and don't post anything about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. When I say it is literally the least you can do, mm-hmm. what I mean is, effort-wise, it takes nothing to not post.
Honestly say I have not yet posted anything about WandaVision.
I have
also avoided it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that I've avoided it. It's just, okay, I watched it. World doesn't need to know that I watched it.
Oh, God. So anyway, I've been watching WandaVision.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is fantastic. All bitching aside, it really is fantastic.
It's really good.
I've already watched it, but if you haven't, go watch it.
Yeah. And we're getting close to the last couple episodes, so now you can binge-watch it if you haven't been watching it. And then feel even more frustrated because you got all of that in one sitting. But now you have to wait for the last two episodes as opposed to anybody that's been watching it weekly. Now you're already in the pattern.
Yeah.
And you can be just as surprised as the rest of us when Galactus showed us. Oh, shit.
Right.
Oh.
With this and Mandalorian... I really appreciate the weekly episode.
I agree.
I think people are learning to digest small episodic portions of things in a way that they haven't had to in a long time.
Well, my wife also... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think episodic is, weekly episodes, is one of the best things you can do right now because releasing everything at the same time is so bingeable and there are so many people that have so much time right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you've watched it in an afternoon and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, doing a weekly release actually gives you something to be looking forward to I think it's good for the psyche, honestly.
I agree, but I get it. For James's point, yeah, I like the fact that it does let them breathe on its own. It's not a one unit, single unit. Every episode gets its own, you know, moment to shine. You know, where if you're binging, you just go straight into the next thing, and you get to the finale, and then you talk about the last episode, and everything that happened before it was just lead up to it. Whereas this way, every episode really gets, you know, its own moment to be in the spotlight.
It's both. I'm considering both of those things, but also, I think for a show, because of what both of you have said, I think a show will be more successful. Just like, aside from the personal emotional thing that Jen is talking about, where this can be the highlight of your week, mm-hmm. and instead of just like, oh, you know, done, all right, well, whatever. What you, Salsa, said, where you get to, really dwell on each episode and process it fully. I think there's also that when people talk about it, not only does it build enthusiasm around, you know, your like the brand and all of that mm-hmm. crap, but also I think inside of us, it allows us to be more excited about what we have already enjoyed.
Yeah.
Sure.
And makes that so much better. And I think it's something that we've been missing.
It's a beautiful marriage.
Yes.
All right. Well, dear listener, weigh in on what Jenna's sexuality is, and also also on what you've been watching or reading, or think we should or shouldn't listen to or watch or read or any of those things. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from the incredibly handsome and talented Salsa.
Never heard of him.
That's my line. Bastard. All right. Getting right into it. Question number one.
Yay!
Water or air?
They're both pretty necessary for life.
I like air. It's just kind of everywhere.
Wait.
Would you rather travel by plane or by boat?
Ooh.
And I would have to go with boat because the change in pressure stuff. Being up high, like ascending,
descending,
fucks with my head in ways that I can't even describe.
Sure.
So yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with water. I think. All right.
I think I'm going to go with water as well.
Okay. So we're all going water. All right.
Yeah.
Question number two. Sand. Or snow?
Snow. Like, what kind of desert do you think you would be more able to cross? Snow.
Sand. I get cold so fast. And
sure.
So thoroughly. I think it's the third. When I get cold thoroughly.
Down to the bones. Yeah.
That would fuck me up.
I think I'm going to go with snow.
I'm shocked.
I know, right?
Right.
Question number three. Snow or water?
Like,
I mean, snow is water.
It is. That's accurate. You're not wrong.
Right. I am technically correct.
The best kind of correct. Mm-hmm. But also
probably not about the context at all.
Pesky
context.
I do not like iced coffee. I prefer regular coffee.
Okay. So instead of a Frappuccino, you would have an Americano?
I don't know that a Frappuccino has to be iced, does it?
Oh, I thought that was part of the frappe.
I have no idea.
I have no idea, honestly. That is purely a Starbucks thing, and I never worked there.
Fair enough.
But...
Fair.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're going with...
I'm going to go water.
Okay. James?
I'm going to go with snow. The snow levels of video games are usually way more fun than the water levels.
Oh, that's true. Mm.
Mm. I'm also going snow.
Hmm.
Again.
Right. Question number 4. Water or ice?
I would rather watch figure skating than competitive swimming.
Oh. All right. I was thinking, like, if you did not want your whiskey to be neat, would you rather get a scotch with water or a scotch with ice? Scotch on the rocks. I think I would rather go on the rocks.
I would also go on the rocks.
Okay.
So this doesn't change my answer at all.
Two ices. I'm going with water on this one.
Okay.
Hmm.
And
that's troubling.
Right?
Question number 5. Ice or pavement?
Skating?
Skating or rollerblading.
I don't know which I've done more of.
I don't really do either. I know I'm the worst Minnesotan, but I don't really ice skate much.
I like them both.
I've done rollerblading, but like with 80s style rollerblades, so like lifting my legs was hard.
Because they weigh 30 pounds each.
Huh?
Because they weigh 30 pounds each.
Right, yeah. Which is a great workout, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but
sure.
You really only get around the block that way.
My first pair of ice skates I inherited from a friend of mine that I lived with, 15 years ago or so. They were these old fucking skates, and I took them in to get sharpened one day, and I had set them in the window at the skate sharpening place. And I was kind of just hanging around in the store waiting for them to get done. And these two older guys come in to get their skates sharpened, and they come up to the window and they set their skates down and they're waiting for the attendant to come. And one taps the other one on the shoulder and they point at my skates. And the other one, like, picks up one of my skates and like turns it over and looks at it, and he sets it down and he looks at the other one and he goes, "Man, I haven't seen these in like 30 years or something."
Oh wow.
It's just like, oh yeah. All right, now do I go over and get my skates now, or do I wait for them to leave before I
sling? You own that shit.
Yeah, you do.
Own it. Be like, yeah, bitches. I know I'm only 7 years old, but there's my fucking skate.
Oh no, I was like 25.
Oh.
When I learned how to skate.
Well, then you extra own it because now you know better.
No, they were real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of want those.
I'm gonna go pavement. Because whether it's rollerblading or just roller skates. I'm still more comfortable with either of those than I am with ice skating.
That's fair.
I can ice skate. It's not great. Mm-hmm. I can get around a rink. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But all
right. I'm going with ice on this one. All right.
Yeah.
Let us do this.
I was about to
say pavement. I think pavement, because if it is that, I know more people who would strap on rollerblades or roller skates.
Right. Yeah, roller skates, I'm fine. Rollerblades, I can do. And I can definitely do them better than ice skates. So, yeah.
All right. Now for the context. And yeah. I gotta say, Even though I wrote these ones were really hard for me because they were all fantastic. Because I was just, I seriously on a couple of these were like, I don't know which one I'll take. All right, question number one, water or air?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather go snorkeling or skydiving?
Skydiving.
Oh, fuck. None of the above.
Skydiving. I've been snorkeling.
I don't.
And it's,
yeah, go ahead.
It's amazing. If it were a choice between scuba diving or skydiving, that might be harder. But
okay, we'll go scuba diving.
I'm still going to say jumping out of an airplane.
Okay.
Is the closest that you can be to flight, and that's very exciting.
Something we said set off my Google
Assistant. Oh, is that what was going on back there? Okay.
Yeah. No, it's still going on. It's giving me all sorts of information I don't want.
Sorry about that. Mm. Yeah, I
have no idea.
Like I said, I was torn. I could go either way, but
I absolutely do not want either. Number one, we already talked about how the pressure stuff fucks with my head.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
In accelerating and decelerating, and I feel like skydiving would not help that situation.
No.
Also, I don't really much care for heights. So that's also going to be an issue.
Yes.
But then, like, snorkeling or scuba diving, like, I don't like having my head underwater. I literally drowned once, and I'm not a fan. So I really just do not want either. Gun to my head, I would maybe snorkel because that's where you're just like right under the surface.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like goggles and a thing. And,
you can
and
dive
whatever.
Down, but yeah, you don't get really deep unless you're doing those like Southeast Asian competitive divers, because those guys those are fucking insane.
No.
Like pearl diving?
I was watching a TV show, I think it was on Netflix, about like weird sports from around the world, and this competitive diving was one of them. And it's crazy, because these people, they take their breath, they dive down to insane depths, like five fucking stories down. And then they come to the surface, and this is the crazy thing. They need to come to the surface, and there's a series of checks they have to do. They need to come to the surface. They need to signal with a specific hand gesture that they're okay, and then they need to keep their head above water for like 5 seconds. Because half the time, they pass out.
Oh my God.
They come to the surface, and they break the surface, and just the change in in pressure and everything, they pass the fuck out. And if they pass out, they're disqualified. So they have to break the surface of the water and then keep their head out of the water to show that they're conscious. It's crazy.
Oh.
So anyway, yeah. Like I said, it was a hard one for me, but water. All right, question number two. Sand or snow? Mm-hmm. Which is your preferred construction material? I.e. snowmen or sandcastles.
Both are fine. I've probably done more with snow, but that's purely out of convenience in that I live in Minnesota and snow just happens on my lawn.
Right.
Yep. That's where I'm going to land on that one. I enjoy making the occasional snowman. I enjoy making the occasional sandcastle, but like, they're not overly my thing.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm such a stick in the mud.
James,
fucking time around.
I think
every other fucking time around.
I have successfully made snow forts, but I have never successfully made a sandcastle.
Huh?
I don't know what it is. I just don't. I don't have the grasp of it.
Okay. And I'm, like I said, I went snow, and yeah, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Question number three, snow or water, which type of skiing do you prefer?
Snow.
I like snow skiing.
Yeah, I think I would have to go snow. Although I don't like, I would go cross country skiing.
That counts as snow. So yeah.
And I wouldn't. I mean, I would do it. It's not, it's not really my thing. I really am just a stick in the mud.
It would be under duress no matter which direction we went. But you would prefer the snow.
Yeah.
Right.
I had. Okay, so I went on a youth group trip to go skiing. And some of the kids on this youth group trip was like, oh, hey, well, like we got all of our stuff and we went towards the hills. And they're like, hey, come with us. And so I went with them. First time skiing. I've never skied before. And they're like, just come with us. And I was like, okay, so I did. And then we got to the top of this hill, which was not a bunny hill. And it was not even like, it wasn't like one of the mountains that like went under itself and like swooped around, but it was quite the distance. And they're like, yay. And then they left. And I don't think it was even a mean thing. I think they just didn't understand that I didn't know the first fucking thing about skiing.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
So I'm like, okay. Well, I guess I go this way, which is down. And I start to go down this hill. And one of my skis comes off. Like, I'm just falling all over the place.
Oh, no.
One of my skis comes off, and I have to chase my ski down the hill. But I don't
know enough
to be able to do that very well.
Oh, shit. This is turning into a sketch real quick.
It was, like, the entire thing. And at one point, one of my youth group friends comes up to me. I've probably made it about two-thirds of the way down this hill just by, like, sliding on my ass on the one ski that I had to get to the other ski. And I did manage to get the other ski snapped in while I was on the hill. I was very proud of myself for that.
Oh, wow.
But then I basically just made a sled. And I was like, this is how I'm getting down this hill. And then, like, I'm two-thirds of the way down, and one of my youth group buddies, like, is on probably his fifth time going down the goddamn hill. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I've never skied before. And he's like, and you're here on this hill?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, yeah.
That's never good.
Yeah. I mean, apparently it was, like, I don't know, like, the Lucky Charms designation of hills. Like, I don't know which is which.
Hard stars, moons.
But it was intermediate level, I guess. Which for a first time is probably not the great way to go about skiing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, I'm sorry, well, do you want company on the rest of the way down the hill? And I was like, that would be great, but you don't have to. He's like, no, I really kind of want to see what you do next.
Oh, wow.
You have become the floor show.
That's so fair. That is so fair. So, yeah, and he actually, like, he was an absolute sweetheart. And, like, we had a good laugh over it. And then I got up and he's like, okay, I'm going to teach you a little enough to be able to get down this hill. And he did help me kind of navigate how to, like, go a little bit towards the side, and like the snowplow, I guess.
Yeah, the V and the slalom and the, yeah.
Yeah. So he gave me enough of that, and I got down the hill, and he was very sweet, and we like figured it all out. And then I returned my skis and hung out in the lodge drinking cocoa. Like, that was my skiing experience, because fuck that bullshit. But I'm also not going to do water skiing because of aforementioned problems going under, and I know that would happen. So,
water
skiing is basically what I've decided on this one.
Basically, every single one of these questions is really I'm so sorry, Jenna.
Curmudgeon, can we make Jenna?
Well, we'll find out. Question number four, ice or water? Preferred fishing?
Hmm.
Water. Love a boat.
I am actually fine with either.
Hmm.
I don't have a great excitement for either. There is something nice about hanging out on a lake in a fishing shack on the ice. And pretending like you're trying to accomplish something. That's nice. It's like my version of Stardew Valley. Like, just, you know, whatever.
Oh,
we're
sure.
Just pretending to do things. Yeah. I've gone fishing a couple of times. It's fine. I like fishing either form in the same way that I enjoy going to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really there for the game because, like, so much of it is just, now we sit around and wait for something to happen.
Yeah.
But it's the people that you bring with, right?
It's the friends you make along the way.
Don't make friends at a baseball game. yeah.
They may expect that you like baseball.
I think probably water, just because I don't like being cold. Mm. But if you've got a well-built ice shack, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got a little heater thing going on in there, it's great. Let's do it.
I've never gotten to ice fish in a, like, one of those proper little houses.
Little shack.
Oh, sweetie.
And I want that. I want to play cards while I'm waiting for a fish.
Next year, assuming we are over all of this COVID bullshit and can do things like this again.
Uh-huh.
We are doing AON ice fishing.
I'm here for it.
Oh, really?
Oh, come on.
I'm absolutely about it. Oh, Salsa, are you scared of being cold?
No, I fucking hate fishing.
Wow.
I would rather slowly impale sharp needles through the flesh of my hands and feet than
I've seen you do that before, Salsa.
Speaking of which, I have lost a sewing needle somewhere in my room.
Oh God!
You may have noticed me searching. But
that's the worst adventure.
Yes. That aside, maybe you just get us drinks while we fish.
Or I could not go.
Well, you can always not go.
Exactly.
That isn't an option.
And I do always not go, and I'm happier.
Wait, this is the one question where I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Exactly, and suddenly I'm the curmudgeon.
And so it's like, no, it sucks.
It's the worst.
Fuck that noise.
Fucking hate. And if for some fucking reason the worst possible outcome happens and you do catch a fish, now you've got to deal with a fish.
Okay, here's what we do. Here's the plan. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
James and I are going to go ice fishing.
Have fun.
Right. Maybe we bring Raiderly and Bryn.
The kids would absolutely love to try it.
Right. And like, I've only gone twice, so I'm no expert, but apparently in this situation I might be. That's awkward.
In this situation you would be.
Okay, so we go ice fishing and we bring a ringer. And then... we come back to, I'm going to say Salsa's place. This is where we're going to come back to Salsa's.
I mean, if you go fishing in the lake a block from my house, that'd be a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we could totally do that. Mm-hmm. We come back to Salsa's where anybody who didn't want to go ice fishing stayed. So maybe Bryn is like, nope, not my thing. Cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. Joe is definitely not going ice fishing. I think
sure.
That right the fuck now.
Yeah.
And then we bring home fish, and then Joe helps Salsa learn how to grill fish in the winter.
No. I think you're misunderstanding it. It's I don't want to learn how to grill fish, because fuck fish.
Please
what'll
do not
happen,
have sex with
what'll
fish.
What'll happen is, while you while y'all are fishing, I'm back at the place... making the hot cocoa and the pastries.
Okay.
And then when you come back, Joe fries up the fish.
Okay. All right. I don't know if Joe... No, I think he'd be good with it.
While I sit on the couch really and like drink wine boning, and eat pastry.
Yeah, okay. Either way. So we're going to... look, the hunters will go out ice fishing. the domestics can stay home and do the domestics shit. We'll come back. We'll have a great meal. It'll be fantastic.
Sounds amazing. I'm okay with this.
I'm here for it.
This out. This is what we're doing. So, Salsa, which one were you?
I went with water.
Just because you're on a boat?
Eh. I figure at least if I'm on a boat, then I can enjoy the scenery instead of sitting on an icy, frozen lake.
That's fair.
We could go ice fishing while Salsa skates.
I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. We'll just check in with him as he does a lap.
Right.
Just every time I come around the lake, catch anything yet? Nope. Okay.
Well, yep. The other thing is that I don't know if ice skating affects how likely we are to catch any fish. But that's also not the point of ice fishing, so eh.
Yeah.
Salsa skating around, we don't catch any fish because, like, fish can sense the vibrations or some shit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that much. But whatever. We're hanging out in a shack playing cards and pretending like we're doing something productive.
Right. Fun. Exactly.
Fine.
Speaking of which, question number 5, ice or pavement? Sure. Ice skating or rollerblading?
Yep.
Woo!
Okay.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Nice.
So yeah. I think that one was pretty well answered. All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should be the context, and the second one should give us the context after repeating those choices, and, you know, obviously filler text if you so desire. All right. Who's got a shout-out?
I have a shout-out.
Shout it out.
I want to give a shout-out to Modern Medicine. Holy fuck, you guys. It's an amazing thing that we've got. Like, I've been researching.
I can't wait for America to get it.
buddy. But no, I've been deep diving into the history of soap making. I've also been going over like other historical advancements throughout time.
Sure, sure.
And my dad used to play a doctor in reenactments, and I'm just remembering like the types of things he was talking about versus what we've got now, wherein I was cramping and I took some Midol and then I was no longer cramping and it was amazing. And then like it hit me that is just such a passe thing for me. I just have medicine to take care of this. It's great. And yeah, like 50 years ago, not so much. Like we're getting there, but we hadn't quite figured out a lot of the portions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Well, also so. That was just women complaining. That wasn't actually a thing, you know.
You are trying to piss off our
listeners. I'm talking about medicine from 50 years ago.
I know. I was teasing. It's a callback, Salsa.
I don't understand.
No, you don't know anything about comedy.
But. I don't get it. Maybe James can explain it to me later.
It will definitely be funnier if I do. That's what I've heard.
Modern medicine.
Yeah.
James?
To modern medicine. I would like to give a shout out to the Uptown Cairo Center. They have been doing an amazing job of getting my back aligned.
Nice.
And I'm going to attempt to go there for some acupuncture in the near future. I have not experienced it yet, so I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I think I might. I think I might like it.
Pretty cool.
I've heard that it's great for those of you that can do it, but
yeah, that's fair.
I'm going to go into hiding.
Yeah. But Dr. Libby has been amazing and is one of two chiropractors who has made me feel better.
Dr. Levy?
Libby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because I've had a Dr. Levy for like the physical therapy stuff.
Mm.
Not quite the same, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
I am going to give my shout out to self-care. It is necessary. It is important.
Mm-hmm.
Don't neglect it.
I don't understand.
You're allowed to
self-care.
I know that we don't like to, because we're art-type people, and that seems weird to us. But do it, because it's good. Take a day. Mm-hmm. Call in sick. I don't care if you're not sick. Call in sick. Do it.
Should actually do that. You're right. Huh.
Call in salsa. And they'll be like, yeah, we don't want you in here if that's the case.
I've got a really bad case of salsa.
I thought you meant call in salsa. Just be like, all right, I'm going to need a tag here. Salsa?
Yep. Call salsa.
I'm Jenna today. You do some stuff. You make some coffee. You make me a smoothie. Yeah, I'm Jenna.
That is pretty much my list.
I mean, yeah.
Except that I work
I want
from
to object.
Home now, so when I say you make some coffee, it's me then having to get up and go make some coffee.
Okay. I'll just log in and go to every meeting and go, you, what's your deadline? Have you reached your deadline? Meet your deadline, damn it. And then go on to the next one.
Close. I've said before, I'm like a glorified alarm clock. Like, that's what I do. Except that I also say, is there something in your way? Do we need to get something out of your way?
Oh, and then they my alarm clock actually handled it
because they've been doing this for
because
years
you passive aggressively made them get shit out of their own way. All right.
Well, actually, I encourage my teens to handle their own shit if they can, but to come to me if they can't.
All right.
Giving people ownership is honestly like. They'll like people just like if they feel like they own it and it's theirs, people will do what they need to do to get their shit back.
So Jenna,
you
help them help themselves.
Yes. I'm yes.
Yeah.
Who's got something to plug?
I have.
Do it.
Go for it.
This Friday, Vilification Tennis takes on reality garbage television in a glorious and fairly one-sided bout. It is going to be the Real Housewives of Vilification Tennis. And for those of you who enjoy the shows that have cast members doing the hosting and judging, as a refreshing change from Tim's usual style, you will enjoy this. The inimitable and talented Heather Rand McKay will be leading this show.
Ooh.
So I wholeheartedly recommend it. I will be watching.
All right. Jenna?
I did not do my research and find something to plug.
Okay.
So, wait. Listeners, tell me what I should plug next week.
I am going to plug this coming Saturday is the Saturday, the 27th of February. It is the final Saturday in February, which is, as always, World Sword Swallowers Day.
Yeah!
Which means hug your sword swallower. Wish him a happy Sword Swallowers Day, whatever it is. I should have said, I do apologize. Love your sword swallower. Give them all amounts of love and affection and appreciation that what they do is a good and noble and a true thing. Because sword swallowing.
Yay!
Saturday the 27th.
All right.
All right. Is there any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
And with that, we would like to say thank you to everyone for listening to this episode. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.